Tonight will be our last night in verse 4, I believe. And so just look to the screens, if you would, and I'll read the passage in its context for us. We're looking at a series titled Having the Best, and of course that's Jesus. The book of Hebrews is all about Jesus being better than Moses, the gospel being better than the law, and the new covenant that is written in the heart of man called salvation, called being born again. The very fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy. Beautiful. Jesus is better, and we as believers having the best. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? And here it is, verse 4. God also bearing witness. That's a huge statement. How did he do that? Both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. That God puts his approval on the gospel preached by manifestations of miraculous signs, here the Bible says, the power of God at work among his people, and these signs and wonders and miraculous manifestations of the Holy Spirit's presence as seen in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What I just said to all of you is New Testament Christianity, people. And yet you feel so alienated from what I just said a moment ago. Signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Spirit God gave bearing witness to the fact that Jesus is better than the law. That the preaching of the cross and the empty tomb is the greatest message that the world has ever seen. And when that message went out in the first century, miracles backed up the word that was being preached. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not saying go and pursue signs and wonders. The Bible warns about that, that that's a mistake. And you can be deceived. Because we know from the Bible, Satan can do signs and wonders. But when the gospel's preached to an audience or to a people group that very much is detached from what we all know, if the gospel goes into a foreign land, a foreign people where the preaching of the cross is maybe illegal or has not been, then you can absolutely expect signs and wonders to bear witness to the power of the preaching of the word. By the way, that's called the book of Acts. But here's what I refuse to believe. I refuse to believe that the God that was once so powerful, either A, is still that powerful, but is not deciding to operate in that power, or B, he wants to move and operate in that power, but we may be holding him back. We may be not open to God moving. And we love talking about God, and we love the fact that he's our Father, and we love talking about Jesus, the Son of God, and we can really relate to him, I think, the most. But for many churches and many denominations, many pastors, when you get into the ministry of the Holy Spirit, people freeze up. Is he like smoke and mirrors? The Holy Spirit, it's kind of freaky. In fact, some people even argue, is it a he or is it it? The Bible's very clear. He is a he. He says he is. He speaks. He moves among the church. We learn from the book of Acts that he calls out people into ministry and to mission. The Holy Spirit. And we've been looking at this study. And I'm going to try to run through this right now and be honoring the lesson that's before us. We've been parked at verse 4 and we're talking about the fact that God equips us with power and purpose. And we've been moving down these gifts. And we should finish this up tonight with the last cluster of gifts. But we've looked at great length the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and his work among the believers and the possessive nature. I love that, by the way. The possessive nature of the Holy Spirit. You guys ought to kind of commit that to your doctrinal portfolio, that the Holy Spirit is very, very possessive of his children. And I like it that way. And so much so that we learned last time that the Holy Spirit, at the moment of belief, the Holy Spirit seals you himself for Christ's sake and yours for the day of redemption. Listen, Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. And he paid that price. Price is paid. But for the last 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit's been on earth working and sanctifying every one of God's kids, using them and getting them both ready for the here and for the future. Using you now and preparing you for this out of mind experience of what is called eternity, where whatever you and I do here now on earth, I don't get it exactly. I mean, I can kind of flirt with the idea, but whatever you and I do right now is going to matter in eternity. We are going to experience some form of responsibility, blessing, call it what you will. But Jesus said regarding this world, if you are going to be faithful with a little, that in the day of judgment, you're going to be given so much more and you're going to be blessed of the Father. And there's a day of accounting when God says that I'm going to request from your life, what is it that you did to glorify my name? He's going to ask everyone that. What did you do to glorify my name? I gave you opportunity. I gave you ability. And listen, cheer up. He's not going to judge you according to Billy Graham's ability. He's not going to expect you to lead 100 million people to Christ. That's what was for Billy Graham. Are you with me? God has given you and I opportunities to take what he's given us. And this is where the wonderful thing is about this study, is this. He's called us universally to do certain things. Love one another. There's no debate about that. Well, I didn't feel called to love them. That ain't going to fly, and it doesn't fly today. No, there's a blanket set of things that we are as believers, right? But there's individual callings that every believer has that we're to be living for the glory of the Lord and for the completion of the ministry. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and 4. Check this out. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and 4. As his divine power has given to us, past tense mind you everybody, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I'm going to keep reading, so keep it on the screen. But listen, everybody. Oh, God, give me more power. God, give me power. God, show me what to do. Oh, God. And we just stand. Listen, we spend years doing this. Oh, God, show me what to do. And you don't hear a thing. It's silence. You want to know why? He already showed you what to do. He told us what to do. It's the Bible. We can ask forever. But we're not going to get the answer unless we open up the Word. Look what it says here. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that's done. It's for us to grab it and do it. It's for us, just like tonight, you put on, or you came from work, right? You put on your clothes this morning and you put them on and you went and lived your life. Okay, you put this truth on. Tonight you say, that is, verse 3, that is 100% Bible doctrine. I'm putting that on. And we ought to agree to do it together. Tonight, are we in this same building together?
Yes.
Are we a church together?
Yes.
Then we ought to right now understand that God's divine power has already been given to us.
Amen.
And he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by the glory and virtue. Verse 4, by which have been, past tense, given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Holy cow. You know what? If we believe that, and if we look at each other regarding this, that each of us as believers, we have been granted in adoption in the family of God, we've been given that deposit of the Holy Spirit regarding his divine nature, meaning we're in his family. And that means we talk to each other according to that. That means we conduct ourselves with each other according to that. It means we've got each other's back. It means that we protect each other. It means that we look at one another and expect them, you, to succeed. We want to help you be strong. You want to help me be strong. I want to help you do what God's called you to do. You want to help me to do what God's called me to do. And we're called a church. And God's given us the power to do that. And we need that display of his power more than ever before. Don't talk to me about how come I don't think God has any power anymore. Listen, God has all the power in the universe that he's always had. Well, then why aren't things happening? God is probably asking us, why aren't things happening? Right? Think about it. We ask him and he's turning around and he's asking us. He has given us everything that we need to display this power. And I'm not talking showmanship, I'm not talking pomp, and I'm not talking parade. Being so fired up and excited about doing God's will. And here we are in that very extended announcement, prayer, rebuke, I don't know what it was. You see the world around us, and there's a tendency to say, all's lost. No, wait a minute. He's given us everything that we need for godliness. That means wickedness needs to be held accountable for its actions. When we do righteousness, we are to speak up and say, that's wrong. What that city or that council member or that president or that governor is doing is wrong. And cowardice, by the way, when you look in the book of Revelation at the very end, it shows you the list of those who wind up in hell in the book of Revelation. And the first one on the list of how to get to hell is being a coward, it says. The cowardice. And knowing that you're in a battle, but never getting involved. And the Holy Spirit has given us the power to make a difference. And I'm wondering right now if heaven and a great cloud of witnesses are not looking over a cloud, as it were, and saying, come on, you guys, come on, you got to wake up. Now's the time to wake up. It's never been so crazy in your country. It's never been so godless in your country. Come on, church, wake up. Come on, church, pray. Come on, church, speak up. Come on, church, preach the gospel. Come on, church, get involved. Start being salt and light. Imagine heaven looking down. What would heaven say to us right now? Well, you know what? That was a stupid thing for me to say because heaven's already told us. It's right here. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, and down to verse 19. Jesus has just turned not only the 12 loose in ministry, but now the ministry is growing. So now there's 70. Watch this. 70 of them. Then the 70 returned with joy. So they'd been out ministering. And they saw the power of God move. This is New Testament now. And they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. By the way, notice everybody, the demons are subject to it by whose name?
Jesus'
name. I said something a few weeks ago that upset some of you. Very much. You said, Pastor, you said that I don't have any authority. I said, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. No, I said that you have no authority to go around and say, I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you. I rebuke this and I rebuke that. I said, that's what I said. Because Michael, who was contending with the archangel battle, says to Satan in warfare, not I, Michael, the great archangel, rebuke you, Satan. He didn't flex. He didn't pump. Michael says, the Lord rebukes you, Satan. Amen. That's where our authority is, in him. We don't have authority and strut around and we're not. No. In Jesus' name, according to his will, we win the battles. I'm not going to say war because that's already been determined. The Bible is very clear. The war has already been pre-concluded. You and I are in battles. And that's another thing that ought to get us cranked up. If the war has been determined and the victory has already been printed up in the Bible, but you and I are living here right now and we get involved in battles. We don't get involved in wars. The war is one. The battles are many. The Revolutionary Continental Army fought in a war against the greatest power on earth at the time, England. There are a lot of battles. One war. Are you with me? We are in battles now. All of us are in battles. Battles for our freedom. Battles for our marriage. Battles for relationships. Every single one of us. But it doesn't take a spiritual Einstein to figure out that if the war has been determined and we've read the back of the book and we know how this works out, then this current battle that I'm in, be it your husband or your wife or your kids or your parents, fight. Fight for your home. Fight for your family. Fight for that marriage. Don't quit. Satan wants you to quit. He wants you to give up. It's like drowning. I've told you guys before, but there's so many new people here. Sometimes I wonder, it's almost like if I die on this earth, sometimes I wonder, I've had two major brushes with drowning. And I kind of feel it, like how it goes. It's a weird thing, man. When you're treading water and you can't tread water anymore, and you look around and there ain't nothing near you, you're so tired, you convince yourself, I'm just going to rest. I'm just going to rest and I'm just going to rest. And it's a strange thing because when you rest, because your chest feels like there's a vice on your chest, that when you rest, you think that's what you need to do. But then when you wake up, or not wake up, but when you open your eyes after that few seconds of resting, you're like 10, 11 feet below the surface. And then the energy that you've got to expel to get to the top takes away what you thought you had just earned by resting. And people feel like that right now. I'm tired, people are saying. And it's strange things are hitting you now. We're not gonna finish this study, are we? Strange things are hitting you now. Thoughts are in your mind. We're down to the wire, we're down to the moment, and now, you know what? I don't know. I've been married to this person for 30 years and I don't know anymore. I mean, life is just so burned out that I just want to try something new. Do you understand that's satanic? Amen. That is an arrow shot by the enemy. A demon has shot a thought into your head. They can do that. I believe Satan and demons cannot know what you're thinking. I think your thoughts are a sovereign place between you and God. But They're not stupid. They've been around for thousands of years. And I'm going to predict that humans are pretty predictable. So they know when. They know how to read signs. She doesn't turn me on anymore. You know, he's got a belly going on now. And look at them across the street. They get to go on vacations. We can't even, you know, go to the movies. And you start being discontent in the heart. And then you start grumbling inside. Again, I've told you before, please read it. Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. If you want to know what's going on in your life, read Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. It's a little read that will change your life. But you're the target. And yet God has given us everything we need to succeed. So then why in the world are we struggling? We're missing something, church. We really are. The power of the Holy Spirit is what we need. Jesus said in Luke 10, 17, 18 now, we read it a second ago, verse 18. They said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Jesus Christ himself, while they were ministering. Okay, these kids before service, they came in my office and I told them, I said, listen, I said, when you go out there tonight, just know this, God's given you these abilities so that when you do this, it's going to bless God's people and bless God. But know this, all of your callings and your giftings up here, these are weapons in the hand of the Lord, and your worship, if it's of the Lord, if your hearts are right, it's going to do major damage to the kingdom of hell. And so I said, go out there tonight and hurt hell. Put a dent in Satan's car door. You know, think about that. And so you saw those kids were being led by God, and they were enjoying ministry. By the way, that was a beautiful picture of when you serve the Lord. Look at the joy in their hearts. So, I don't know, I'm afraid. Step out. Get away from yourself and step out and let the Lord use you. And that is, I believe, the place where the Bible goes into effect and joy is experienced. And you saw it on them, but you know what? At the same time, I was thinking back in the room back there, just thinking, this is awesome because Satan hates this. I had friends texting me from other states that were watching saying, this is awesome. You think Satan's going to let that go by? In no way he's going to attack. That's okay. It's all right. He's defeated. The Bible says he's been defeated. He won't give up, but he's defeated. And so that scripture goes on. Jesus says, so I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to notice. I give you. It's not your authority. I'm giving you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. You say, well, wait a minute. No, you wait a minute. If you get involved in his business, you can count on that verse. We're not going to make it. It's just, we're going to forget about tonight. I'm going to end with this. That verse, boy, I'm going to get in trouble for this, but you know, it doesn't matter. God knows my heart. Here's the deal. So, 1992. We are in Moscow, Russia, and I'm not sure, I see Judy McDaniels, I'm not sure if Judy was with us or not on this particular trip, I'm looking around, but We were at a metro stop preaching the gospel. We had a band. We're preaching the gospel. All these Russians are just freaking out because their country had collapsed. And they had been reduced to begging food. It was tragic. Or it was sad. Just put it that way. Military soldiers selling their medals and badges on the streets to us just for food. And this one guy, he winds up praying with this. His name was Kaha. He was from Georgia, southern Russia, down toward Azerbaijan and Kazakhstan. So when you think of Russian, you don't think of this man being Russian because his ethnicity, very dark skinned, looked very Middle Eastern, even kind of Persian-like, tall young man. And he's listening to the gospel, and you can see he's sincere. And when I say listening to the gospel, I'm preaching through a translator. And you could see him, and he's listening. And when I was done, he came up, and the three of us, translator, speaking. And he understands. He repeats back exactly what we're preaching to him. He understands the gospel. He had never heard it before. It made total sense to him. He prays and accepts Christ. And he says, will you, and maybe you want to bring your friends tonight, have dinner at my dad's house? I'm going to call my dad, and I'd like to have you guys come over for dinner. And so we said, yes, of course. And so there was about seven of us. And my translator, Larissa, she now lives in Vancouver, Canada. She told us when we got to the flat, she said, now listen, before we go in there, if this is traditional Russian, they have never had Westerners in their home. You need to know that. That's kind of obvious. Everywhere you guys go, people have not had Westerners. And to have an American in your home as a Russian is like mind-blowing. Like you're a rock star. And so she tells us, you do, listen, culturally, you do exactly as they tell you to do. And we're like, all right. So we come into this flat, and a Russian flat, this stage is probably the size of two or three Russian apartments. And so we come into theirs, which is probably like this, right? There's food everywhere. Flowers. We walk in, they all stand up. It's his dad, it's his mom, brother, sister. The whole gang's there. And so we walk in and we take our seats. And we were just radically shocked and humbled that they would go through so much, because clearly Kaha called and said what he was doing, and they must have went out and spent, it was amazing. Well, they're Russians. And in that culture, a toast is a blessing. And so we walk in, and they're looking at us, and they're smiling. And we're looking at them, and it's just this such a God thing going on. And the father stands, and he pours this
horse milk.
I'm thinking it's wine. It's a wine bottle looking thing. And so everyone, they pour it. And he says, I want to make a toast. Never before. You know, this is an honor for us to have you here. And he's just remarkable. And let's drink to that. And all of us. And I said to Larissa, tell him we don't drink. You got to tell him we don't drink. And she said, if you don't drink, you have no idea the damage that you will do here. All right. Now stop right there, everybody. Think of this. I'm looking at Lisa, Mark Koppel's there, Loretta Koppel is there. I don't remember if Jim and Judy were there. Anybody in this room there? And I'm struggling. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I'll just fake it. And truly. And by the way, I didn't get up to the line. 2, 389. Fake it at every toast. But we faked it. And we, you know, you just go like this and your lips are wet. And he's toasting over. And it was so precious. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like, hey, let me think of a toast. He was just toasting. And then Larissa would say, now it's customary for you to offer a toast like a blessing for the house. Do that. He says, okay. Well, this drink that's going around is two things. It's cognac and Russian vodka, of course. Vodka. All the citizens in Russia get vodka from the government. That's how the government stays in power. Sound familiar? This gathering went on for probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours. And all along the way, I think I'll come close. There were something like 17 or 21 toasts. And here's what's amazing. Not one of us, including them, got fuzzy or drunk or affected. And I remember the scripture coming to mind where the power of God, and I'm going to tell you why this happened. The power of God, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We're drinking this poison. I mean, this stuff is deadly. And nothing happened. You know why? Because we were trusting God. We were there for a reason. God set the whole thing up. And God was taking care of us. And then it became very obvious. Kaha said, now, Jack, I want you to tell my family exactly everything you told me today on the streets. You see, God's, now watch, we saw, you say, well, I don't know. Believe me, if you would have been with us, just the smell of that stuff would have gotten you drunk. God did a miracle. He protected us because he had a plan. And so I stood up and I said, this is what happened to your son today. This is what happened to your brother. And I gave the gospel. And they're listening. So polite. They're listening. And I was done. And Kaha stood up and he said, he looked at his family and he said, now what are you going to do about it? And he called them out at the table. Father, what are you going to do about this? Right on the spot. And the father said, I'm going to accept Jesus Christ. Watch this. He looks to his brother. What are you going to do about this? This news. What are you going to do about this? All around the room, each of them prayed to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. A year later, we went back in 1993. We filmed a kind of a documentary, which we should show you guys someday just for laughs. It's spectacular. If I would have been thinking, I could have actually had them stop the video and shown you, because the year before when we met Kaha, we were taking footage, but we came back home and then produced it. And then we sent it out in 1993 to all of the churches to invite them to join it up in Russia. And so we have images of him, but the point is this. Yes, Judy, you were there because you're in the video. She is mentioning on the video, and she's actually standing in front of, prior to 1917, it used to be called the Hall of Light. And it said in the building, let there be light. And in 1917, that was torn down and it was declared to be the Hall of Atheism. And there's a video. We got to show you this video. But here's the thing. God had a plan. We made ourselves usable. We went out on a limb, right? God knew exactly what was going to need to happen. And he wasn't about to let poison or Satan or anything else spoil the preaching of the gospel to this family. And when we went back a year later, he met us. Kaha had met us and gave us a report, and I fully expect to see him and his family in heaven. God does things that challenge us because we don't like to venture out without a plan. And the more, listen, and I'm ending, the more we work on our plan, the more we think, this is going to work. This is going to work. We've thought of everything. And it's okay to have a plan. You got to have some sort of a plan of something. But never let your plan take the opportunity and the power away from what God wants to do. Amen. It's okay to plan, but always know that he has the sovereign right to interrupt your plans. Amen. And he does that. And when you put yourself out there to do that, you'll see miracles happen. And so today, you know, well, I want to see God. I want to see God move like I read about in the Bible. I don't think you do. I don't think you do. Because if you understood that, it's going to completely disrupt your plan, then you won't be so excited. You'll realize, oh, it's not just a parade or a show, huh? No. Human souls are at stake. And God has given you and I all power. And we will have the power for the issue in the moment. Amen. Well, I want to see this. Throw away your plan. Because he may want you to talk to this person who winds up talking to that person who shares with their parents. And when we get to heaven, we're going to hear stories about call it the domino effect, where you shared with one person and you thought you flubbed it even. But that person went and told that person. And that person decided not to get an abortion. And that kid grew up and wound up being on a missions trip and goes and speaks to someone. And you see where this goes?
Yes.
Yes. Come on.
I hope you allow your life to entertain such a magnificent God.
Amen.
Such as He is. All power has been given to us. Lord, we pray that tonight, I don't know, Lord, if you want to just forget about tonight or if you want it to be remembered. I'll leave that with you, but it sure didn't go according to my plan. But Father, if there's any judgment against us that would stick in the halls of the heavenly court, may it be that we were found guilty of being ready, guilty of being willing. May we be found guilty of wanting to see you exalted and your name known, not ours. And that we're willing to risk reputation that we might decrease and Christ might increase. And Father, that you might baptize us tonight in the power of your Holy Spirit. And God, that your gifts would flow through us and we would see your power, because it's all about your name. That we might finish the course. And so, Jesus, thank you. Church, let's stand. And let's give him this song as our prayer, as our worship to him. He alone is worthy. Church family, if you need prayer tonight for anything at all, after service, right up front, there'll be people here to pray with you. If you need prayer for anything, right up front. If you're new, if you're visiting for the first time, I'd love to meet you out in the courtyard and say hi to you. But please, expect God to do great things. Expect Him. Just expect Him. These are dark days, and these are the end times, which should really get us excited about Him shining in the dark. And when He shines in the dark, He uses His people. We are the illuminaries. He's the source. Let's make this song our prayer. God bless.